Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph, in Chapter 8, Law 1. In the Mishnayim text, we're on page 134 and 135. We're now beginning into the 39 Malachos, doing one at a time, and then we'll go through the Halacha Lamaisa that comes out of each one of these Halachas. Aleph. Ha-Choyresh Kol Shehu. If a person plows kol shehu, any amount, and how much? Like the smallest little plant, the smallest little seed for the smallest little vegetable. Chayiv. You're chayiv upon doing that. It's interesting, the Rambam, as he's been discussing in the last parak, and today as well, he has prefaced plowing before seeding, which makes sense, because that's the normal thing. You plow before you seed. It's interesting, though, if you look in the Mishnah in Shabbos that discusses the 39 prohibited activities, it mentions seeding before plowing.
Makes sense.
Seeding before plowing?
Well, it depends.
Doesn't make sense.
But you got to plow first, and then you got to seed.
Right. So the Rambam seems to make sense. Why does the Mishnah not make that same sense? So the Gemara over there explains that the Tana over there in Shabbos, he's talking about the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is a very hard land. And it needs an extra plowing after the seeding. Right. Interesting. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even the second plowing is considered a plowing that's a malacha. Right. You'd figure the first plowing, that's the really hard plowing.
Breakthrough.
But the second plowing after the seeding might not be considered such a strong plowing, so it is too. So that's an interesting concept. Anyway, so plowing is the first of the 39 malachas. Now, in addition to that, we've got some other activities. So next is hamenakesh biikore hi ilonos. If a person pulls out weeds around the roots of a tree, okay, these are the bad weeds that are in the garden around the tree, and obviously that's not going to, it hurts the growth of the tree, but more importantly, it hurts the earth because it's taking away precious nutrients from the earth. Vahamekarsem asovim. And people cut off, dried out branches and grasses as well from the ground. Ohamizoreid es hasorigim, or if we're as well cutting off dry branches from a tree. Why? And all these things are why? It is the common denominator. Kidei leyapos es hakarka. It is to make, to improve the quality of the ground. Okay, that is what the essential activity of Choresh is. The difference between this and Zoreya is, and here's you have to make the fine line difference. If what we're doing on the earth that makes the earth stronger and better, that's a tolada of Choresh. But everything that helps for the ripening of fruit, then that would be Zoreya. Okay, so you have to know where the activity of improving the earth stops and where the activity of helping the fruit begins, right? So, but that seems to be the two different malachas over there. So that all these are improving the quality of the karka. So hareze, all these are toledos choresh. They're all toldos. So what do we call them? Secondary activities, derivatives, of choresh. Umishiyasa kol shu chayiv. Do a little bit, you're chayiv. That's all. The littlest amount. And v'chein hamishava pnei asod. Anybody who levels the face of a field, in either way, you're going shehishpil hatel verito. You had like a kind of a hill, and you flattened it or lowered it. Omila hagai, or you filled in a valley. Chayiv. You're chayiv in both cases because of choresh. If you would do a similar activity in your house, then already it takes on a different malacha. What would that malacha be?
Building.
Right. In other words, when it's out in the open fields and where the earth is necessary, if you have a good earth, then plants will grow in a good earth. So when you fix up that earth, that's choresh. But in a house, we don't plan on having plants growing out of the carpet. Of another floor in your house. No. So we're only trying to make the house be a completely properly built house. So then it goes into the malacha of boneh.
Home improvements.
That's correct. And all of these are chayiv mishum chayresh v'shiro, and what's the amount? Kol shehu, any amount again. V'chein kol ha-mishava gumos, anybody who levels out holes. Also, shiuro kol shehu, any amount is enough. Okay. Okay. I believe that's good in that area. So now let's take a look at some halachas. All right? And there's quite a lot of interesting halachas over here. So again, any type of work we say that's performed on the earth to achieve the result of making the earth better, you're preparing the earth for subsequent planting, or any time that making that earth better, that's choresh, that's under that general av malacha. But the malacha only applies to plowing or any other method of loosening the soil that can improve the land for planting. However, what if you do that on a land that's not filled, that's not fit for cultivation? Then the malacha wouldn't apply. We'll be an example. Go dig, level off the Sahara Desert. Yeah. You know, you had a hill and you leveled it off to make it nice and straight, right?
A dune.
Right. You're plowing in the desert. Well, you know, plowing is not going to help. You're not going to plant in a desert. So that wouldn't help. It has to be a place where it's legitimately reasonable to assume that one, if one wanted to plant something, one would plant there. It is a ground that can be made better. So there's all kinds of things that fall into this malacha. Now this malacha can be performed by breaking up the earth with an instrument, a plow, a hoe, or a spade. But similarly, you can transgress this malacha even if you don't use any special tools. Even just using a stick or a spoon or a shoe, that would also be usur. And as well, one would transgress if using an animal to get the work done, provided that the person guides the animal to do the job, that would also be included in that prohibition. Now, some other things that fit into, remember, the idea is we're loosening the ground, right? That's part of the activity here. So you can loosen the ground in many ways. For example, you pour water or other liquids into the ground, that would also be considered the malach of choresh, because the liquid softens the ground, and it's similar to plowing the ground, which is different than if you'd water a plant.
Grass.
When you're watering a plant, that would go into zorea, seeding, because you're helping the growth of the plant. But here, you're watering the ground because you want the ground to be softened, so then later when you plant, it works better. So that would be a malacha as well. But again, this is only forbidden if the ground's going to be planted or seeded while it's still wet. If nothing's going to happen until after it's dried, you really haven't performed any malacha because you haven't, putting the water hasn't really maintained itself in the ground. On the other hand, if you pour a very harsh liquid into the soil, that wouldn't be prohibited, even though the soil is softened, because that will not make the soil more suitable for planting, because really you're damaging the property. And therefore, the goal of making the ground prepared for planting does not get achieved by that. Now, we also talked about the idea of leveling the ground. And again, if you do it in the house, it wouldn't be plowing, but rather be building, because the leveling of the house just makes the house better. Now, there's a lot of other things that become prohibited now by the rabbis because of this aspect. If leveling the ground of the field violates plowing, and leveling the ground of the floor in the house violates building, so the rabbis prohibited a number of other things because it's very close to that. For example, in those days, remember, their floors were out of dirt.
Yeah. Right. Can't sweep.
So therefore, you couldn't sweep a dirt floor in those days. Right. You couldn't wash a dirt floor. Couldn't roll balls and play ball, which we'll talk about shortly, on a dirt floor. So we'll talk about it. Yeah?
So we learned in Brochus that once you finished eating, you need to sweep the breadcrumbs off the floor.
It depends what kind of floor.
Right, but you can't violate Shabbos to
right? On Shabbos, thing. You wouldn't be able to do it.
Oh.
Right? There's halachas of cleaning up after a meal, and then there's Hilchos Shabbos. they can't be allowed to conflict. So we have to, you know, make sure that it doesn't violate it on the Shabbos. So let's take a look at each one of these, three things over here. Sweeping the floors. Obviously, the rabbis prohibited sweeping an earthen floor, because inevitably there's going to be some uneven areas of the ground floor going to get leveled out. And therefore, the rabbis went further and extended the prohibition to even non-earthen floors as well, because people might then mistakenly sweep earthen floors. However, the rabbis did permit sweeping non-earthen floors in cities where most homes are constructed with flooring, like in our homes. Okay? Therefore, today, one is permitted to sweep the floor on Shabbos. However, it's got to be done with a soft broom, because a hard broom, the bristles can break, and there'll be a different malacha if the bristles break. Similarly, sweeping a paved yard in front of a house. Okay, let's say you've got the
interlocking brick.
Interlocking brick in front of the house, and whatever, maybe the kid spilled and it made a mess or whatever, you want to sweep it up, is permitted even if the area beyond it is earthen, like grass or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the pavement of one's house is considered as an extension of the house, while the remaining area is not considered that. So that's in terms of sweeping, right? So you can sweep the floor on Shabbos, provided that you have a soft room for that. That's allowed, yeah?
What about like a manual?
So manual sweeper is also allowed.
It's like a vacuum cleaner, not electric one.
Right, it's allowed as well.
Oh, that one, yeah.
It's allowed as well.
Yeah.
Okay, now, washing the floors would be the same problem. If you've got a dirt floor, it would be the same problem. And again, the rabbis also prohibited non-earthen floors out of the concern for earthen floors. Now, there are some poskim who say that this prohibition is applicable even in cities like Toronto, where most of the floors are non-earthen floors. And you're going to say, well, what's the difference between sweeping and washing the floor? Does that make a big difference? The difference is obvious. Sweeping a floor is considered an accepted daily necessity. You got to sweep the floors every day. If you don't sweep the floors in your house, you're going to see ants there overnight, right? Sweeping the floor is understood. You got to do that every day. And therefore, the rabbis wouldn't prohibit sweeping the non-earthen surfaces where most homes are that way, because that would impose a hardship on people to have dirty homes. Or washing a floor is not usually considered a daily necessity, unless you have a nanny that's nothing to do every day, so you just want to keep her busy.
That's the case.
But usually, many homes will either wash it maybe once a week or twice a week, but not much more than that. So why do you have to bedafka do it on Shabbos? So therefore, the rabbis felt that would not be imposing an undue hardship by prohibiting washing a floor. However, in a case where, let's say, the non-earthen surface became very dirty on Shabbos, you know, let's say, you know, your
still
little
cooling.
Child pooed on the, with right through his diaper and right onto the thing, right? Then you could surely spray some kind of cleaning fluid on that area and clean up that area. That's not considered washing the floor. That's considered getting rid of a specific dirt, right? So if a real terrible dirt came suddenly on Shabbos, a kid came in from the backyard and plopped his mud right over the floor like that, then that would already be permitted. Okay, now let's talk about ball playing. Okay, so the rabbis prohibited rolling a ball or a similar object on an earthen surface because of the concern that a person might level the ground to provide a smooth surface for which the ball to roll. Therefore, it's forbidden to play soccer outdoors, right? Even if there's an area on grass. Clearly, similarly, playing basketball on an earthen surface would be forbidden because the game cannot be played properly on an uneven surface, and the concern is we would level the surface. Take it a step further. Some poskim will permit rolling a ball, though, on a non-earthen surface. You go to the playground where it's paved, the basketball court, which is paved. Some poskim say it's okay, but most poskim rule that it's still not allowed even on those surfaces. And therefore, accordingly, one really, according to most postings, should not play soccer or basketball, even on concrete surfaces. And of course, you have to understand, you know, certainly this is not dealing with the other area of the whole problem of playing ball on Shabbos.
Right, right.
We're only looking in terms of the melacha aspect. Playing ball, anyone over bar mitzvah shouldn't be playing ball b'chlal. That's
Shabbos.
Not Shabbos. They will not play basketball in Olam Haba.
Oh, boy.
They're not going to play soccer in Olam Haba.
Not at all.
So, okay, maybe children under bar mitzvah. It's hard for them. We'd be lenient under these circumstances, but certainly they could not play soccer on the grass, according to all poskim. If you go to the field, what's the park?
Campbell?
Campbell Park, where they got a soccer field right on the
nice
grass.
Soccer field.
You can't do that on Shabbos.
Absolutely.
You couldn't play baseball on the grass. The little kids could play on a basketball court. Little kids. But,
what about little kids playing baseball?
Same thing, it's on the grass.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be doing it. That's Alpi Halacha. Alpi Halacha shouldn't be this. Now, on the other hand, all authorities agree that you could roll a ball on a carpeted floor. So let's say in the house,
if they're playing soccer in the house, or things like that. You know, where
right.
they have the artificial turf.
Artificial turf, right.
So that
would be okay, because a covered floor would not be mistaken for an earthen floor.
Right.
Also, one is definitely allowed to play kugelach indoors on the floor.
It's nothing to do with spinach.
Five little metal squares, drop them, pick them up, whatever.
So okay. What about these people who play basketball in the driveway?
Yes.
Oh. Got a problem now.
It really is not, according to most poskim, it shouldn't be done when they're over bar mitzvah.
Period.
Again, unless it's like an adult playing with a kid. Sometimes there's a leniency. A kid needs to be entertained.
Right.
So then the adult can play with it.
But if everybody's over 13, there's
it's not good. And I appreciate how hard it is for if you have certain teenagers who like learning isn't their thing on Shabbos, they can only sleep so many hours in the summer. It's an issue.
Board games.
If I'm playing soccer with my kid.
Okay, you're playing with your kid, but you still shouldn't play on the grass. On the grass, for sure not.
For sure not.
But on the road, on the
so on the road, okay, if it's with your kid, okay. So,
on the deck.
You know, that would, you'd have opinions to rely on. I mean, I think nowadays it's so much harder for some people to keep Shabbos, so you'd rely on the minority opinions under those circumstances. But it's not the best. It's certainly not the best. Well, little kids, you got to do something with them.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, now how about making furrows in the ground? It's also considered an av malacha of Choresh, because furrowing prepares the soil for planting seeds or young plants afterwards. Now, what making
Dragging
a furrow
furniture.
Means, you're removing soil from its place, and you're preparing the ground for the planting. Because now you can place seeds in the ground and I'll cover them up.
Right.
But making furrows by just compressing the earth and without removing any soil does not really improve the ground for planting. And that would not be considered choresh. So now let's look at some practical applications of that halacha. So let's say you don't intend on planting, but nevertheless it would be prohibited to make a furrow or do something that would result in a furrow being made. So how about if you have in your backyard, you're going to be dragging a heavy object,
like a heavy chair, a heavy lawn table, or something like that,
and you're schlepping it along the ground. So if it's a light object along the earth, and though maybe a furrow could be made, you can do it. Why? Because number one, you don't intend, it's ain't a miskaven to make the furrow. And it's not for sure going to happen. And therefore, if you remember the earlier rules, we learned that ain't a miskaven is okay. But let's say you're dragging a heavy object along the earth, which will definitely make a furrow.
Oh,
even though you don't intend on making the furrow, it's still forbidden. Because what did we say that the new word was about that? If it happens for sure, it's called?
Seek Resha.
Right, cutting the chicken's head off, it'll certainly die. If you're schlepping a heavy table and it's dragging along the earth, you're going to be kicking out a lot of earth and making the furrow, and then you would not be allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay, Now, how about pushing a wheelchair or a baby carriage along the grass?
So the question is, if you're doing that heavy object, and let's say it's a sandy yard where there's just sand or gravel, and you can't grow anything.
Again, if it's a place where you're not growing anything, then it would be,
then
it would be all right.
Then if you made a furrow, it would be all right. Okay.
But we're talking about like regular grass, like the grass backyard.
That's not
now, again, pushing a wheelchair or baby carriage along the grass surface, right, even though the wheels make indentations in the ground, that will not constitute a furrow because we're not removing any earth from
pressing
the ground. You're just compressing it, so it's not chayrish. So that's not a problem.
Why is growing relevant? If you're sleeping in your living room,
That's bona. Now we're talking about growing. Yeah. Remember, in the house is bona. Has nothing to do with
outside.
Growing. You're fixing up the house. How about removing obstacles from the ground? That's also considered choresh, and therefore taking out weeds or dead plants from the ground is choresh, because they're improving the land for that. Similarly with enriching the ground. Okay, we're going on with that.
Wheelchair?
I did that already. Said that's okay. Because you're only compressing, the ground, and you're not moving ground out. Okay, how about making holes in the ground? Well, that is the malacha as well.
Yeah.
Making a hole for any purpose would be transgressing. Out of the house would be plowing, and in the house would be building. On the other hand, what if you're making holes, let's say in an area you know for sure it would collapse right away?
So, let's say
in the beach or in a sandbox, if it's got very loose sand, then there's not a problem. Because nothing's going to come of that. You're going to make a hole in the ground. There's nothing going to grow over there. That's not a problem. Okay, how about walking with a cane or high-heeled shoes? So you're allowed to do that even though it's making a hole in the ground because, again, there's no intention over there at all. But although you're making it, but again, you're just pushing it down.
So this is why it's best to walk on the sidewalk.
But you could do it. That's not a problem. You can't let, for example, spit on the ground and let's take your shoe and smush it around and level the ground. That would certainly be choresh or bona, depending if it's in the house. Again, children can play in a sandbox. Is that a problem? Provide the sand is dry and loose. If it just rained and it's very sticky, then there'd be some other problems over there. Again, in Bechlal, playing in a sandbox, is basically for younger kids, not for adult kids, right? as well, you can't move a full barrel on an earthen surface because you're going to be moving earth around as well. You can sit on a chair on an earthen surface, even though the legs of the chair are going to make a hole in the ground, because again, you're just compressing it down, and then that's fine. Okay, so that takes care of those halachas.
What about snow shoveling? It doesn't go into any of these?
Snow shoveling has nothing to do with that because, you're shoveling on an asphalt surface. You're not doing it on the grass. And even if you did it on the grass, nothing is growing in the winter. Last time I checked.
No.
Nothing's growing in the winter. And we'll see. I mean, technically, now, so again, if you're talking about, like, I would say, to shovel your entire driveway, like after a major snowfall, you couldn't, because that would be a zilzul Shabbos.
Yeah.
Shabbos is not for an hour and a half
or
of sweating,
neighbors.
Right? But if you just need, for example, the walkway and people are going
to
slip,
and
they can get hurt or things like that, or if it's ice, you're putting salt, that's already mamash atzarich Shabbos, so people can walk in the house on Shabbos. So that would be definitely allowed.
Wow, you can put salt there? 100%.
Yeah.
It's sakanas nefashis.
Yeah, because you're not really doing any specific malach.
So with that, if you got a hole, then you could fill it in. I mean, if you realize on your walkway...
Okay, it depends. Now you could be getting into trouble here. So you have
now
to know. If you feel it's a real danger to somebody, then first of all, it's probably better to tell a goy to do it.
Yeah.
There is a malacha. If you're filling in a hole on Shabbos,
that's for sure
a malacha.
That's a problem.
And it could even be a doraisa malacha.
Yeah,
that's a problem. So you may, but if you feel it's a real danger and people can really get hurt, best to tell a goy to do it. Or best to cover it with something. Like take a plank of wood and cover it over because then you're already running the risk of doing real malachas. Question?
If you level the ground for aesthetic reasons and you have
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter,
but it's possible to do that.
It's irrelevant.
So you've got better times to do that than on Shabbos.
Seek ratio.
All right. Okay, that's a good place to stop. We did one beautiful full halacha and all the halachas are there. Shkreich, guys. All right. We'll meet again on Sunday. So I see Wednesday is the tough day. Huh?
No, there's a big H program. It's the third jihad is tonight.
Oh.